Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
For this child, you know, people can say, well, it doesn't have memory, it doesn't have consciousness, it doesn't have intelligence, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have that. But what it has is the will to live. And that is what you're taking away. You're taking away the only thing that unborn human being has.
It's not how I feel at this given moment. Who I am is a child of God, even if I don't feel it.
Missouri City pastors who are fans of the world champion Chicago Cubs love listening to Issues Etc.
So when a pastor just faithfully teaches the gospel to his people, gives them the forgiveness of sins, he's preparing them for that moment. So there's not much else that you'd need to say.
We have whole generations growing up that have never been in the liturgy. And that means that they simply don't know these great hymns and songs and Bible passages.
In an hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. The five top vote getters of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week from 2016 are the candidates, and your vote will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. In the meantime, we're going to answer the question, how the left can come to grips with a President Trump. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us. She's senior editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column, 10 Things the Right Can Teach the Left About Accepting the Reality of Trump. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
From the left's perspective, is this proof of the old adage, be careful what you wish for?
Well, it is interesting. When word got out that Donald Trump might be running for president, when he started his bid for the presidency, a lot of people on the left were elated. They wanted him to run. And in fact, they kind of helped prop him up to get the nomination on the theory that running against him would be a slam dunk and that nobody could lose against Donald Trump. And we saw this in the leaked memos from WikiLeaks, where the Clinton campaign was openly hoping that somehow the Republicans would pick Donald Trump. And they did. And the media, of course, gave him nonstop coverage throughout the primary and whatnot. Again, I think their thinking was probably not terribly noble, and I don't think it was that they were huge fans of Donald Trump so much as they thought it made for good TV, and they thought it kind of weakened the Republican Party to have someone like him at the helm. And yeah, now the joke is completely on them. He had this stunning victory, and now they have to deal with a guy they helped promote be president.
So from the experience gained over, well, at the very least, the last 8 years of an Obama administration, you say that the right has some things they can teach the left on getting used to it, beginning with, it's okay to be sad.
Well, it's partly about how to handle life when the president isn't who you would like or when a different party has control of the executive branch. It's also that it was very hard for a lot of people on the right to come to terms with Donald Trump. Some people liked him early, certainly, and some people liked him, came to terms with it during the primary, but he never won a majority of the Republican votes in a primary, or maybe he did there at the end, I guess, when everyone else had dropped out. So a majority of Republican voters tended to vote against him during the primary. Of course, by the time of the general election, they all came on board. And so I think there are lessons there in what people had to go through to come to terms with who Donald Trump was. There were very serious disagreements with him, not even necessarily on policy so much as style or morality or whatnot. And so there are lessons in that coping and that coming to terms that I think people can learn from. And yes, one of them is it's okay to be sad. We're at a moment in time in America where both of our major parties put forth morally questionable candidates, and you like to think that the people in your country could do better than a Hillary Clinton or a Donald Trump, and we have spent decades not doing a very good job educating people just in, you know, on the basics of constitutional governance or even just civil life, civic life. Our institutions are not producing great people, and it's okay to be sad about that. It's something we should be sad about.
You say learn to accept the rules of the game, and that kind of presupposes that people know on both sides what the rules of the game actually are when we elect a president.
Well, I think people do know what the rules of the game are. It's not like the Electoral College is some secret. It's right there in the Constitution. It's how we've been electing presidents for year. Every time we do it through the Electoral College. But this is another thing that I mentioned, how during the primary, Donald Trump wasn't getting a majority of the votes. But it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if he won a given primary because there were 16 other candidates and he was able to just get a plurality, you know, by more easily. It doesn't matter that there were primaries where Democrats could come in and vote for the Republican because they were open primaries. None of that matters because we all know what the rules of the game are prior to a given election. So to say things like, oh, well, Hillary Clinton got more votes if you count, you know, because of California and New York than Donald Trump did, who cares that we don't have a national popular vote? I'm going to keep on harping on the fact that she got more votes. I mean, that's silly. That's not how people are elected. It's never been how people are elected president in this country. And it's time to stop clinging to things that make you feel better if it's preventing you from accepting the reality that in the actual contest where it actually matters, Donald Trump didn't just win. He won pretty big.
Also, admit that your candidate, in this case, Hillary Clinton, actually had some flaws, some serious flaws.
So one of the things that was heartbreaking for people on the right was, I don't think there's ever been a Republican primary filled with so many top-notch, high-quality, solidly conservative candidates. You know, conservatives are always having to, okay, I'll go for Mitt Romney, or, you know, someone who started Romney Care in Massachusetts. You know, they're always having to get, you know, be okay with someone who's less than stellar conservative. In this case, there were tons of really, really good policy wonks, communicators, people who had exciting ideas on education, foreign policy, or whatnot. And to see them all fail next to Donald Trump was difficult. I think a good, important thing was for people to realize, well, okay, I like Ted Cruz a lot, but I have to admit, you know, he helped Donald Trump early on, and then, you know, he wasn't the most likable of candidates, or I really liked Marco Rubio, but he didn't do a great job in that one debate, and he never seemed to allay people's fears that he was too young, and maybe he shouldn't have done that immigration gambit when he was in his first term in the Senate. If you can do that with high-quality candidates like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, there's really no excuse for not just admitting that Hillary Clinton was, in fact, a really bad candidate. I mean, she had tons of money. She had all the elite support. She had the entire mainstream media establishment behind her. And she still lost because she is a flawed, flawed candidate. She sounds like a robot. She can't communicate with people. She never had a campaign message other than don't vote for Donald Trump because he's icky. I mean, there were so many problems there. And if you can't admit that, it's going to, again, make it hard for you to just come to terms with a reality. And if you do want to, you know, fight Donald Trump on this, that, or the other, it's good to accept reality.
Why shouldn't the left follow the media's or social media's lead?
Well, I think that's almost self-evident. The mainstream media did such a horrifically bad job this year. They didn't just get it wrong in terms of who was going to win the presidency. They got everything wrong. They got the mood of the country wrong. They didn't understand that people are sick and tired of the way Washington is doing things when it comes to foreign policy, national security, economic policy, I mean, everything. And they are so much in an echo chamber, they don't even know people who believe differently than them. And if you, they do have a lot of power, and I recognize that they have a lot of power, but if you are just listening to what they have to say, you're going to think that the world is very different than what it actually is. Namely, you're going to miss that there is an entire world outside of Washington, D.C. and New York City. And social media is even worse in a sense. It's filled mostly, take Twitter, it's filled mostly by partisan journalists who pretend to be mainstream. They whip themselves into frenzies. They all come up with the immediate same opinion on literally everything. You know, Donald Trump tweets something and they all agree that it's just the most horrible thing that ever happened. And they aren't talking to other people. They're just telling people what to think. And it even happens on the right. I was struck in March. I was in Michigan. And on Twitter, everyone was really, on conservatives on Twitter were saying, we really need to make sure that everyone says that if Donald Trump gets the nomination, they won't support him. And everybody on conservative Twitter agreed with that. But if you talk to actual people in Michigan, where I happen to be, literally nobody wanted that. They all wanted whoever won the nomination to get the full support of everyone else who had run. So in the real world, where people actually vote, the mood is going to be very different from what you see on social media or on in the mainstream media.
You also say, here with a few minutes, that the left should be prepared to like something that Donald Trump says or does, and to be reminded from a Trump presidency of why our Constitution is so great. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, there is this perspective among some people that because they don't like Donald Trump, that every single thing he does or says is bad. And frankly, you saw that a lot with people just getting sick of President Obama and saying that nothing he did could be good. In fact, no matter what your political views, because Donald Trump is so, he's not so much an ideologue as a populist or whatnot, no matter what your political views are, there's probably something you can find that Donald Trump has said or done that you actually like. I thought about how immediately after he won the presidency, he was tweeting insults at the people who were rioting. And I thought, oh man, he's really going to keep tweeting, isn't he? And of course he's going to keep tweeting because it's a very effective means for him to get his message out. But when he tweeted something just like, when Fidel Castro died and he had this like, Fidel Castro is dead exclamation part. And it was like, yeah, it's, you know, it's not bad that a guy who was a brutal dictator who murdered all his countrymen and oppressed them for decades is dead. And it was nice to just kind of have that moment where you can say, I kind of like that we have this clear speaking president. You know, the official U.S. statement came out and it was all mealy mouthed and it didn't really condemn Fidel Castro. And it was like, you know, I can get behind this. This is kind of cool. And, it, you know, other people might like his more progressive policies on, you know, other issues, but there's probably something you can find that you like. And if you can always put the best construction on what you see, it helps you be a better critic in the long run.
With about 10 seconds, do you think the left is going to take your advice, Molly?
No, I mean, I actually think this was such an alarming moment for many people on the left that you have some people who are just coping horribly. They're literally rioting and they're crying and whatnot. You also have a lot of people who say, you know what, I haven't understood my fellow man in this country, and I want to understand them better. And so people are trying to find more conservative outlets and whatnot to read. And I have gotten great feedback from liberals who said, you gave me a lot to think about.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column, 10 Things the Right Can Teach the Left, about accepting the reality of Trump. You can read that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can follow Molly on Twitter at MZHemingway. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is with us on the other side of the break. When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Friday, January the 6th, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today, because it's the beginning of a new year. Of course, the prophets are out there making their prophecies. We'll talk about some New Year's prophecies with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Then we're going to play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Year. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4 million downloads of Issues, Etc. in 2016. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 9 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues, Etc., live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2017.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.